Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Make Me a Musical, an offshoot of Musicals with Cheese, where we try to make a musical in less than 30 minutes. And with me, as always, I have Andrew DeWolf and Brianna Jones.
Hi.
I love you both so much. All right, Andrew, you're going to introduce what we're trying to make into a musical this time, since you picked it. You decided this.
Oh, man, I don't even know why I picked this now that I'm thinking about it, but yeah, here we go. Rugrats in Paris, the movie.
Yes. We should provide context to those of us who are not on our Patreon, because this kind of started as a meme on our Patreon when we were doing Glee, where you just
was it?
Got a, no, like 100%. It was during our Glee podcast where we talked about Rugrats in Paris quite a bit in just one episode.
That's amazing. I don't know why I remember this movie. I don't remember the first Rugrats movie at all.
You don't?
But I remember Rugrats in Paris. No, I literally can't remember anything about Rugrats the movie.
I remember all three of them very, very well.
I only remember.
This is the only one.
Rugrats Go Wild, and this one. What's the?
You remember?
What's the other one?
Wild. So the first one, I feel like I need to provide some, you know, context, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so the first one, Tommy gets a brother, named Dill, and
yes.
Then he thinks he hates him and tries to kill him by sacrificing him to monkeys, and then he decides, nope, I need to be a good brother, and then the movie ends. That's the arc.
Okay.
And so Rugrats in Paris, I think we really need to kind of dive into this story, because it is more complicated now that I'm actually thinking about it than I think even Inception, to be honest.
Rugrats in Paris is a very complex mm-hmm. and
I'm
deep
film. I'm not saying complex emotionally. I'm saying complex as in how the hell are we going to turn this into a musical? This might be the biggest challenge we've had yet.
All right, go well, why don't you explain the plot, Mr. Remembers All Three Rugrats Movies?
So the plot of this one, the framing device of this one, has to do with Chucky feeling mom envy. All the other babies
yes.
have moms, and he doesn't because his mom died horribly.
Chucky's a Disney child, sadly.
No, he's a Nickelodeon child. But moving on...
No, all the other ones are Nickelodeon child. Chucky's the Disney child, but no mom.
Parent, he's got a dad. But we learn this at Tommy's grandfather's wedding to a woman who is played by Debbie Reynolds.
Yeah.
I remember the scene.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Yeah. Carrie Fisher's mom played the grandma in Everything in Your Childhood. So think about that. Halloween Town, that was Carrie Fisher's mom.
Yeah.
And then they go to Paris, but they make it look like Japan or Tokyo specifically.
I remember that because it's like I always thought this took place in Japan.
But well, it's in Paris, you dummy.
They're at a Japanese amusement park.
But why, though? Why are they at a Japanese amusement park?
I think the justification is, how else do you get the entire group to Paris? Stu is an inventor, and he has to invent things for this Japanese-themed amusement park in Paris. This is a very convoluted premise to a movie about talking babies.
Yeah, I always loved Stu, and I feel like his inventor-ness is, like, weird and doesn't need to be in there at all, but it's something that drives the plot forward, you know?
Yeah, but once they arrive in Paris, it gets a little bit more streamlined into like a Mamma Mia kind of scenario where you've got or a Parent Trap scenario where you've got the obviously bad choice and the obviously good choice, and you got to get the dad with the obviously good choice, and we introduce the new character that could be Chucky's stepsister eventually. And Kimmy, which
is
what are you yeah. doing, stepbrother?
I remember she got added to the Rugrats, like the main cast.
Yes, after this movie.
After this yeah. movie, and I always thought that was weird.
Why? the same thing happened. with
was like,
Dill, right? Yeah.
I know, but it's like things aren't supposed to have continuity in these cartoons. It's almost weird when they do.
You want everything to be like the SpongeBob movie, where they don't address anything in the movie. We should be doing that now that I think about it. That's a much easier thing to adapt into a musical. But nope, we've
Yeah, you think so, but Rugrats in Paris we've already started, so, and we're already 5 minutes
we've
in,
dedicated.
So we're running short
Literally,
on time
we got
here.
25 minutes to try to get this together. All right.
Okay.
So, main character.
Where do you start?
You start with Chucky.
Main character is Chucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's an ensemble, though, in a way.
As much as it can be. But we gotta...
I think...
Gotta start with our opening number, which is setting up the universe where the babies and adults cannot hear each other, but they all talk. So we need some song that can encapsulate that idea, as well as set up they're at a wedding.
Yes.
Do either of you remember how the movie opens? Because I do not like the way the movie opens and is not the way we should use... We should not use that.
The movie opens with, like, a Godfather parody?
Yes. No.
Does
bad.
It?
Yes.
Godfather parodies, bad in general. There's one in Zootopia. I watched recently. We don't need more Godfather parodies.
You know what?
Let's
the Godfather
it up.
Is old hat 20 years ago. Like, in the 90s, that was already an old joke. No Godfather.
Yeah.
No
Godfather.
We should literally just have Chucky tell the story, like, we're babies and we're all that. And now we got the stylistic question. Do we have actual children play the babies? Or do we have adults dressed as children, Charlie Brown style?
Or do we do it amusement park style and they're wearing mascot costumes that look like the babies from Rugrats?
I guess the question is, are we trying to make this good?
We never said that we make it good.
I mean, do you want to see adults in diapers or do you want to see... Never mind.
There is definitely an audience
yes,
for that.
Maybe
there is an audience for that.
That.
Okay.
We could
cash, let's cash in on that.
Cash okay. in on the Crinklers.
Okay, so we're doing adults in diapers.
Yes. Okay, and we need an opening number.
Opening number, it literally just has to be like...
No, you can't do adults in diapers. I'm thinking about it now. You can't do that.
Why?
We can't do adults in diapers. I don't know. I don't like it.
Okay.
But do you want to see kids in diapers?
These, so, like, no adults in diapers.
Fine. If you both think adults in diapers is the way to go, we can do it.
I mean, I don't see it any other way. Because
I will adults, not compromise my artistic vision, Andrew.
Okay, adults in diapers.
Okay, but...
Okay.
Because...
Okay.
I mean, would you rather see children in diapers? I feel like that might be a little weird for some people.
Children are supposed to wear diapers, though.
Okay.
Okay, what about teenagers?
We have artistic integrity so that we can play with this a bit.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to pitch a middle ground. Instead of this being Rugrats in Paris, it's Rugrats all grown up in Paris. So we can just make them their all grown up counterparts going to Paris.
You lose the emotional element of Chucky wanting a mom as a little kid.
Yeah, and then Chucky is going to be a teenager. He's going to have mommy issues. It's you know, deeper level.
I guess once they're adults, like the relationship between him and Kimmy becomes less like about siblings, and it might seem like a more romantic interest.
Yeah, yeah. We definitely don't want that.
What are you doing,
especially
step
if they're
brother?
Being played by adults in diapers.
Oh no.
Crinkle, crinkle, crinkle.
Okay.
No.
What if Dill is a child in a diaper and all the rest of them are adults in diapers?
No, I've got it. I figured out our opening number. I figured out how we're going to get around this.
Okay.
We do the Grinch thing. We have an adult, older man playing old Chucky, relaying the story to us.
Okay.
I feel like that could work, where he's like... Just describing these, and he's like, and they're babies. Just trust me. Like, I was a baby.
Okay.
What if it's Tommy?
Yeah, just someone.
Instead of Chucky.
Okay.
Only pick Chucky because he was, like, our focal character, but it could be Tommy. And it would give Tommy something to do.
I think Tommy can be, like, a narrator character.
Tommy doesn't have much to do in the story. He's just a guy that is also there in this story most of the time.
He's Chucky's friend.
Yeah.
He can be the narrator character.
Yep, I'm good with that. So
okay.
Tommy introduces the characters and sets up, like, yeah, they're babies, but we're not going to wear diapers. Whatever.
We could also just put pants on him.
Well, Chucky doesn't wear diapers.
Yeah, Chucky grew out of his diapers.
Yeah, he did. He's
a
big boy.
He wears pull-ups.
He
He's a big boy.
Green shorts, yes. All right, we need to get some songs. What's the opening number called?
We haven't even stylistically agreed upon, you know, whether or not it's adults in diapers or anything
no
yet. So I mean, we have to move forward here.
No adults in diapers.
Okay. And so we need an opening number. Now, are we going to like skip the whole wedding, or are we going to go right to...
No. We do the wedding. The wedding has to be the opening.
It is important.
Okay.
I'm going to use...
I want some sort of parallel. Can we get a song between the moms and the kids? Because they do the mother-kid dance thing or something, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And
we get that song, and then Chucky doesn't do it. Chucky's, like, doing a different song while they're doing that.
I feel like that could be the I want song spot right there. I want a mom.
Yeah, like, and it's...
I want a mama.
Remember the scene from Dogfight where they're, like, singing about how ugly the girl is, but it sounds like the song's about how pretty she is? It's something like that where it's like, I couldn't live without my mom, like the other babies are singing, and then Chucky's like, I have to live without a mom. Like, something that's kind of, like, real depressing, but juxtaposes each other.
It's gotta be really sad because this movie has very deep emotional, like, complexity.
Yes. And I
want you
like
crying.
We have to reflect that.
Yeah, I guess.
We gotta open it with that tearjerker.
What the song they opened Rugrats in Paris with? It was a Cyndi Lauper song. So speaking of musical theater writer Cyndi Lauper had a song that is called "I Want a Mom That Will Last Forever." Should we just port that song over from the movie?
Oh, you probably could.
Like, cause I imagine now that I'm thinking of this, Cyndi Lauper could write the score to this, and I feel like she'd get the vibe.
Yeah, and we could definitely bring over that song and keep it.
Yeah, because I remember that working really well in the movie.
Yeah. Let's bring that over. We'll have the adults in diapers singing it.
Yes, we set up the world. Okay. We gotta get to Paris. We're 12 minutes in. We're halfway through our time.
So, wait. Why are we going to Paris?
Same reason. I think... Stu's got the job.
There are so many characters. Are we introducing Stu early on?
No,
we
just have Tommy say, "My daddy got a job
at Euro Reptarland.
Euro Reptarland. I love it.
Yeah. All right. So Euro Reptarland. He's going. Stu's going, and the whole gang is coming.
Yep.
Yep, the whole gang is coming. They don't even explain that very well in the movie now. Like, why is Angelica coming? Why is Stu's brother going?
Stu's brother is going because he is a very supportive brother who loves Stu.
No, Stu
and wants to
go. Drew hates his brother. Like, that's not even subtle. That's not even subtext. That's text within the show.
Yeah.
That's
true.
And vacation.
And Angelica doesn't like the other kids.
She is the worst.
Well, Stu likes Drew, though. That's why. He invited him. I don't know why Phil and Lil are coming. I don't even know who they are, technically.
They're the twins.
Relating. Yeah, I know who they are. Like, why are they coming, though?
They're taking a vacation.
Yeah.
Do we have to bring the twins?
We have to.
Is there even a place for them in the stage show?
We have Rugrats in Paris without Phil and Lil.
There would be riots. People would be so angry.
That's true. I mean, we can't cancel Phil and Lil. Okay, it's not
look
this
what
isn't
happened.
Like a
they
Space Jam
Pepe
2.
Le Pew and look what happened.
You cancel one skunk that just, you know, likes to sexually harass
cats.
The world ends.
Do you know that
assault?
Max Landis was attached to writing of Pepe Le Pew movie for a couple of years. Oh my god.
Isn't that fitting?
That is very fitting. If there's anyone to write a film about a rapist, I'd pick that rapist.
Oh God, no, please. Okay, back to Rugrats in Paris. Adults in diapers.
Adults.
We're talking about adults in diapers. Let's not get off topic. Okay, they all go to Paris. We need a good song to set the setting of Euro Reptar Land.
I feel we need like a French pastiche that gets interrupted by like some
reptar.
Yeah, like we
rah,
have to
rhyme reptar, something like that interrupts it.
Yeah, like it's like oh, like literally they play the song from Inception, like oh my animal, that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we get like a French pastiche going into row reptar or something. And all the kids start singing along with the Reptar theme. This is going to be terrible. This is going to be like an amusement
this
park.
This is literally, we're not even adapting Rugrats the movie. We're adapting the second Rugrats movie.
This is going to be awful. This is not a good idea for a musical.
We're dedicated. We're in, Andrew. We can't go back.
No, we're in. We only have 15 minutes. We have to do this.
So, there is a very important moment in Rugrats in Paris the movie. Where the Baja men bring out who lets the dogs out. Do we keep it or do we lose it?
We lose it. We lose it.
Spike
finds his love in this movie. Like, he finds a little poodle, the French poodle.
Spike isn't in this movie. We can't do Spike. We can't. How many characters are in this freaking movie?
A lot.
None of them have arcs. Okay.
Oh my
god. The important thing.
This is the worst adaptation for a musical.
No. We have something important here. All right? We have a villain.
Okay.
Her name is Coco.
That's true. Yes, Coco LaBlanche.
We need to give her a villain song here. What is her goal in the movie? I know she wants to marry Chaz. For what reason?
There was a reason. I can't remember what it was, though. Why did she want to marry...
Oh, because she wants to impress the president of the Reptar franchise, Mr. Yamaguchi.
Oh. Yes.
He wants a successor that will love children, so she's going to marry a man with a child.
Okay.
Yes. She's literally using him for status.
That is the first I can get behind. Wow, she has a really clear goal. And we need, like, something like a joking pastiche about how much she loves children, and, like, she accidentally sings things that are like, I love watching them fall off of buildings. I love the way that they blow bubbles so they stop underwater.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that kind of like, I love this.
Yeah, and but she's singing it to Mr. Yamaguchi.
Yes.
And then at the end of the song, Mr. Yamaguchi is like, oh, can I meet your child? And she's like, oh, absolutely.
Yes, he is coming here now. And then it gives Angelica a reason to exist in the story because she's the one that tells him that Chaz is single and ready to mingle.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I remember Angelica was like, she met the bad guy and she gets like given candy or something.
There's a lot of songs in the Rugrats movie. Like, remember like the Reptar like musical number pastiche theme songs scene where Coco takes over and then sings it at Chucky? We keep that scene as is.
Yes. I mean, if you're adapting it and it already is there, I mean, we got to just use it.
But remember, Chucky has his little comfort animal, his Wooba or something like that. He has a little stuffed animal.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really important.
Yes.
To him. And in that scene, that animal gets torn and broken a bit.
Yeah, and he gets very sad.
I think that is the point of Act 2 where we like find out after that really unfortunate incident that Chaz is engaged to Coco and all is lost, and then we end Act 1 on that.
Sounds good.
That sounds good.
And we open up Act 2 with Isaac Hayes singing Chucky Chan.
I don't even remember the context of this song.
It literally is just a dream. Literally, it's a dream. So literally, it is a great Act 2 opener because it is just goofy nonsense.
It's the dream ballet.
We're going back to Oklahoma times with our Rugrats in Paris musical.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Rugrats, the Chucky dream kung fu.
All right. And then...
Okay, we can do that. We haven't even introduced the actual love interest yet.
Yeah, that is the problem. I forgot what her name even is. I know...
Kira?
Was it Kira?
Kira and Kimmy.
Yeah.
Kira and Kimmy, they...
Yeah.
Now the problem is, and here's another problem with this movie. Surprisingly, a film about France has a lot of really unfortunate Japanese stereotypes.
Okay, well, we can cut those.
Yeah, we're not
we don't
keeping
need those
the
in
bad
here.
Girl scene with like the sumo wrestlers. Yeah, that's gone.
Yeah, even as funny as that was, it's gone.
As much as we're all rolling on the floor. And then, especially because we've set up the giant robot Reptar at the end of Act 1, which will become very important throughout the rest of the story.
Well, that's the major set piece. That's our helicopter. That's our barricade.
Yes.
You know.
But basically, Act 2 is going to be pretty song light. There's going to be a reprise of Chucky's "I Want Number," which is like, I wish I had a mommy. That isn't like. He got what he wished for, but it wasn't what he wanted. He wanted a mommy, but he got Coco, which sucks. You gotta have a little song where it's like, I should have just been happy with what I had or something, you know. And then remember, yeah, the main event of Rugrats in Paris is Chucky says his first word to stop the wedding, which was no.
Yeah, because he was like, he's like, yeah, I don't want
Coco.
I don't want this to happen.
And I feel like that should be the 11 o'clock number that's just called I Say No, where he's just like letting out all of his emotions, but all the parents are just hearing his no. And that could be like this really funny thing where this actor's like letting out all his emotions and we immediately undercut it with them and just being like, no, 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 no. And then all falls together the way it should. Coco gets arrested for XYZ kidnapping children.
Yeah, kidnapping children. And doesn't she like put them in the robot, or do they go to the robot themselves?
I think they were just in the room with the robot. They were locked in a room and the robot happened to have been there.
Do you remember Robo Snail?
Yes. Why was it? I remember that this. Do you know Pacific Rim? When I saw Pacific Rim, all I could think about was Rugrats in Paris. Like, hey! Rugrats in Paris did that first.
Rugrats in Paris is such an influential movie. Like, it's really.
And then we kind of wrap it all up from there. Like, everyone finds their person.
Well, we have to do the reprise of the opening song at the wedding.
Cindy
at the
Lauper
end,
comes
and then
back and brings back. I want a mom that'll last forever.
Yep. Except for this time, Chucky is singing along
and
with
he's
everybody
like, I
else.
I have a mom that'll last forever. He sings that song again. It's great.
Yeah, it's a great ending. Spike gets nothing. We don't give Spike anything.
Spike
I don't care about the Fifi Spike. Spike returned to his home planet halfway through the adaptation.
And then you know how it ends? Like everyone has like their big crescendo number, and Stu comes in. I got tickets to go to like on a cruise. I'm sure nothing will go wrong, thus setting us up for a sequel.
Yep, and the sequel
never comes out. No, no,
will never happen.
Yeah. We are not. We never have any intention. That was just a joke, guys. Stop asking.
It's just a joke. We are definitely not going to try to adapt Rugrats Go Wild into
that would be
a
even
musical
harder.
Theater
that
structure.
Would be so much. Harder.
I wouldn't know where to start.
Well, I mean, we'd have to do the Wild Thornberrys film first, obviously.
No one remembers that. I'm sure we've all seen it, but no one has any memory of what happens in that movie because it's so boring.
It is incredibly boring. And the Wild Thornberrys, I mean, let's be real, not interested.
Do you guys remember when that movie came out and there was like a scratch and sniff that you got from Burger King?
Yes, I remember that for Rugrats Go Wild. It smelled terrible.
It was awful. I was
smelled horrible.
I mean,
it was from Burger King. What did you expect?
I don't know.
The best part is,
do we still have scratch and sniff?
I do have
those?
One of the. It came with the DVD. The best part is, with the DVD, they still have the scratch and sniff numbers, and you can't turn it off.
Oh no!
They still pop up, and you're like, "What? What the hell was that?"
Wait, so when you're watching the movie, there's just numbers that show up and you can't shut them off? Maybe it's not something that you can remove because it's like built into
they probably burned it in.
You had. It's like the fucking special editions of Star Wars. You can't undo it because they used the original film
You can't
negative.
Turn. Yeah, they.
I didn't think that one through.
All right, guys. We all agreed. Cyndi Lauper does the music and lyrics to this.
Yeah, of course. She's already got a song in here. It's right up her alley, too.
This would
be
the big one. This is like, finally, I can get into this.
This is like, there's a lot of potential here, obviously. We've really only scratched the surface.
I'm sure she could take what we have here, like our presentation here, and turn it into something remarkable.
This will be playing at every Six Flags in America. Very
no, not even that. Every Nickelodeon hotel in America.
Oh yeah, the Nickelodeon hotels are gonna have a field day with this one.
The Cyndi Lauper composed Rugrats in Paris, the musical. Did you guys do Rugrats, the first movie? No, we did not.
We skipped right to the masterpiece.
We skipped right to Empire, guys.
You don't even need context here.
You really don't.
Like, do we really need to know? Do we need to know where Dill came from? Like, come on.
Well,
we just need to know that they're talking
daddy.
Babies. Oh, God.
What would Ben Brantley say about this musical?
Ben Brantley would absolutely love it. It might be his new favorite, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I think if Ben Brantley watched this, he would be like, yeah, forget it. Music theater, everything I said about it in the past, they were actually all terrible because this one blew it out of the
water.
What
do you think, Bree?
Yeah, I think he could relate to Chucky and maybe, you know, his...
Mommy issues.
Mommy issues, yeah. Or maybe he had a teddy bear or wubba lub or whatever you called it earlier.
Yeah, wub lub.
Maybe he...
I think what he might really get into is the... I think the set piece
Reptar?
Of... Robosnail and Reptar battling is kind of going to be what changes the game for all music theater in the future.
Okay, I'm going to pitch you what Ben Brantley's review is going to say. The year is 2000 when I left the theater to Rugrats in Paris, the movie. I cannot imagine a cinematic feat like meeting my expectation and then surpassing it even further. The same can be said about the musical, which took my already skyrocketed expectations and threw them sky high. The idea to have adults in actual diapers, my goodness. The bravery of Cyndi Lauper, Andrew DeWolf, Rihanna Jones, and Jesse McAnally to make this come to life. And then we got...
Honestly, the adults in diapers is really...
That's it. And of course, the ending of the musical, where we end with an adult Chucky and an adult Kimmy. And she says, "What are you doing, stepbrother?" Curtains.
It's a masterpiece.
It's honestly a definite... It's a masterwork.
I don't think we'll ever make a better Make Me a Musical.
Well,
I don't.
I think...
We could try. But we will.
We could put in an effort, but like this is it. This is as good as it gets.
Exceed this.
We have peaked.
I feel like every episode we do, we've convinced ourselves this is the best idea we've ever done. That's happened like consistently every time.
I'm already convinced that I've pictured it in my head. I don't think I can even watch another musical because now that I've seen it, like vision wise,
have a dance number.
There's just nothing that could ever
crinkle with every step. On that note, we'll see you guys next time when we gotta make another musical. We'll see you guys. Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.